from tonight. One of these days I'm going to remember that we have more than one Mark and more than one. And when I say Mark, lead us in prayer, that other people don't have a panic attack in our services. Be very. I'm going to remember one of these days that we have more than one of some names in here and try to start calling last names to go with that. But oh man, what a good time we can have in God's house. Luke chapter number 16. We'll be taking our reading tonight. I do ask you to pray for me that I can get the thought across to you that I feel like God's give to me. Maybe some scripture that we don't read a whole lot, but as we come to Luke chapter number 16, can anybody tell me without looking, Luke chapter 15, what's Luke chapter 15 about? The prodigal son. So in Luke chapter number 15, we read about the prodigal son, and we know how that, that was not a test. I just want to know if anybody had it off the top of your head. But in Luke chapter number 15, we read about the prodigal son and how that the prodigal son went and asked his dad for everything that was coming to him and how he took what was supposed to be his and what he took what he was supposed to be a good steward of and how that could have lasted him maybe all of his life. And he took that and he wasted it on riotous living, on partying, on doing whatever. It's your guess as good as mine and what all the prodigal son got into with that. And as you read chapter number 15 and you read about the prodigal son, and we're like, how in the world could he go and waste everything that was going to be his? How in the world could he go and live like that and turn his back on his daddy? And man, we can get into that. And we're just like, we know that that's wrong. But then so many times we stop there, and let's continue reading in Luke chapter number 16. The Bible says, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. Now, when you see this word steward here in the Bible, steward is, we would maybe compare it to the CEO or the CFO of a big corporation. Somebody that's in charge of making financial decisions, somebody that's in charge of taking care of all the assets of the company. And here, this rich man, the Bible says that he had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. So this man, somebody had brought a rumor to him that the guy that was supposed to be looking after all of his assets and making the financial decisions for his money, somebody has brought to him a rumor that he is mishandling his responsibility and that he's wasting the owner's goods. In verse number 2, and he says, and he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer a steward. So here the Lord, or the rich man, he calls for his steward to come to him. And he says, look, I want to tell you that there's people saying that you're mishandling my fortune, that you're mishandling, you're not being a good steward, you're not being a good CEO, a good CFO, and you're wasting what's mine. Now, I want you to give me a financial report. And I like the way that he says it. He says, because if you give me this financial report, you may no longer be my steward. If I don't like what I get, you may no longer be in charge of what I've given you to be in charge of. Verse number 3, the Bible says, then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? You know what? If this man had been doing his job and being a good steward of the money that he had been left in charge of, he wouldn't have had to ask himself, what shall I do? He would have been able to say, okay, master, if what you want is a financial report, you want to know what I've been up to, here, let me give you your financial report. Let me show you what I've been doing with your money. Let me show you how I've invested. Let me show you how I've been taking care of it. Let me show you that I'm doing my job and I'm doing it just like you would want me to do. And if you find a mistake, it's because it's a mistake. It's not because I'm mishandling anything. I have truly, honestly made a mistake. So he says, give an account for thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. There's going to be accountability. There's going to be consequences because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm no longer going to be the CEO. I'm not going to no longer be the CFO. All of a sudden, I'm going to be down below that. And then I want you to see what his train of thought is. I cannot dig. To beg, I'm ashamed. I can't work for a living. I can't go out here and I can't do what this manual labor, that's below me. I can't do that. And then he says, to beg, I'm ashamed to beg. There's no way that I'm going to go out here and beg people. I'm a CEO. I've got a name. I'm the steward. There's no way that I'm going to go beg. Ain't it amazing that he was ashamed to go beg, but he was not ashamed to mishandle his responsibility? He was ashamed to go out and for people to think, hey, this guy no longer has it made. This guy's no longer financially stable. This guy's no longer somebody here. And he was ashamed for people to know that, but he wasn't ashamed that he had mishandled his responsibility. He wasn't ashamed that he had took advantage of his situation. So I want you to look to see what his answer to his question is. He says, I am resolved what to do. I know what to do. That when I am put out of stewardship, that they may receive me into their houses. Oh, he's going to figure out a good way to look after number one. He's going to find out a good way to take care of himself. He says that even after I'm no longer a steward, that these people will still bring me into their house. They'll still take care of me. So he called every one of his lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto the Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto them, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. You can almost hear a sneaky plan going on here with his steward. He says, how much do you owe our Lord? Well, I owe him 100 barrels or 100 measures of oil. And he said, well, we'll go and cut that in half. Whatever you owe us, just cut that in half. Then he said to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80 or 80. So even in this guy's sneaky attack to try to get out from underneath the responsibility that he had mishandled, you can almost still see greed. How come with the first guy that he told him, I want you to take your bill and I want you to cut it in half? He said, you owe us 100 measures of oil. He said, I want you to make it 50. The second guy, he says, you owe us 100 measures of wheat or barley. He said, I want you to take yours and of 100 measures of wheat. And he said, I want you to write 80. You reckon he got to thinking after he told the first guy to write down 50? Ooh, I might have got him too much of a discount. I believe I can get a little more. You can almost see greed even in him trying to sneak around being responsible for what he was supposed to be taking care of. Then he said to another, how much thou owest? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. Verse number 8, and the Lord commended the unjust steward. What? And the Lord commended the unjust steward. He had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. How in the world could this guy say that he had done something good when he had just went and he had been sneaky and he had mishandled what he was supposed to be doing? Well, the only answer that I can come up with out of this is maybe this guy's how he got to where he was also. Or maybe he was just saying, you know, that was a good attempt at trying to cover up what you had done. That was a good attempt at trying to make maybe some kind of restoration to what you had done. Verse number 9, the Bible says, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, that you may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Now, we look at this guy tonight, and as we was talking about in chapter number 15, how that we can see that the prodigal son that took all of his inheritance, and he went and he wasted it on riotous living, and we can look and see how bad that was. We can say, I can't believe that he done it. I can't believe that he wasted. I can't believe that he fell into sin. I can't believe that somebody that was there in the father's house would turn and they would end up in a pig pen eating with the pigs. I can't believe that he done that. Well, what about this guy that was just an unjust servant? In chapter number 16, he's been given such a responsibility. He has been blessed with an opportunity to be responsible for another man's money, for another man's, for another man's possessions. He is given that responsibility. And as he goes out and he is an unjust servant and he misuses what he has been given to be responsible for, and then he sees he turns around and he tries to cover it up just a little bit. And as he gets to the end of it, it doesn't seem like there's that big of a consequence for him. It doesn't seem like that the weight of the world come down on him like it did in chapter 15 with the prodigal son. And we think, well, what in the world is going on here? But I want you to ask yourself tonight, God has given us a responsibility and we're responsible for a whole lot of things that God has just handed to us. They're not ours. See, you know, what we get confused sometimes is we think that we own a whole lot of possessions. We think that we have a whole lot that is ours, when the truth of the matter is, when we fully surrender our lives unto God, that nothing here belongs to us. It's all God's, and God has given it to us for just a short period of time. Even down to your finances, all the way to your family members. See, we think that, well, I've got a wife and I've got three children, and those are my responsibility. But you know what? Those people are not really mine. My wife is not really mine. She belongs to me here on this earth, but she belongs to God. My children, God has lended them to me while I'm here on this earth to raise them, and He has given me the responsibility to take care of them. Now, my question tonight is, am I being the steward of the things that God has entrusted me to be a good steward of, or am I misusing what God has given me to be a good steward of? It's so easy to look at the guy in chapter number 15 and say, you've done so much wrong. But the guy in chapter number 16, as we read it, and it begins to make sense that there is so much wrong going on, and how that he misused what he had been given to be responsible for. We look at it and we can see that in their lives, but can we look at our lives tonight and see whether or not we're being a good steward of what God's given us to be responsible for? So many times we think, yeah, I'm doing exactly what God has given me. I'm doing exactly what God has put me here to do. I'm being a good steward of what God has given me to be a good steward of. But when you sit down, what if God asked you tonight, and I'm not talking about your money, I'm just using the financial report because that's what we were talking about here. But what if God asked you tonight, I want a report of what you've done with everything that I've blessed you with. I want a report of what you have used your health that I've given you. How have you used that to give me glory? How have you used that to point others unto Jesus Christ? I want a report of the possessions that you have here in this earth. I want a report of everything that I have blessed you with. How are you using that for my glory? I want a report of your time. I've let you live for however long that you've been alive. I've been alive for 36 years. How have I used the time that God has given me for my life to bring Him glory? How have I used my life for me to point others to the cross of Christ? You know, today Billy Graham passed away. I think somebody said he was 99. I've heard bits and pieces of the reports today, and man, what a picture of faith. One of the most probably influential evangelical people that there's ever been. I mean, I went and heard him preach when I was young. I've actually sat and listened to him preach, but I've heard him on YouTube and know some about his ministry and all these different things. And I could look and say, he's been a good steward of what God's given him to be a good steward of. But only God and Billy Graham knows if he did everything that God had asked him to do and been a good steward of everything that God has given him. And only me and God know whether I'm using what God has given me, whether I'm using my health and my time and the different things in my life, whether I really am being a good steward, or am I one of these people that everybody thinks is doing okay, but me and God know that everything's not just, I'm not using it for His glory the way that I should. If you had to give a report to God tonight, how are you using your time, your life, your finances for the glory of God? We don't like to talk about finances because that's something that we've went out and made, and it's ours and it's our control. And man, the more we can stack up and pile up, the more secure we feel. Well, I want you to know something, that when it comes time for you to leave this world, I don't care how much money you got stacked up, piled up, it ain't gonna make a bit of difference in the world. There are people tonight that maybe have a pile of money stacked up in the bank. They're somewhere taking cancer treatments, and if they could trade everything they've got for their health, they'd do it right now. Don't put too much into finances and money, and I'm preaching to myself tonight. Because we get to the place to where we feel like that we're doing what we're supposed to do, but I wonder really if we had to give a financial report tonight to God of our lives. If we had to give Him and say, look, this is what I've done. Would He look at us? I heard an interview today with Billy Graham. It was on the news this morning as I was drinking my coffee there at work. I turned the TV on and I heard him in one of his interviews. He said, I want to hear one thing from one person when my life's over. He said, the only thing that I want to hear is for Jesus to look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know what a goal that is for all of us. But if you gave a financial report to God tonight for what you've done with your life, for what you're doing with your finances, for what you're doing with your kids, for how you're leading your home, for how you're supporting your husband, for whatever it is, would God be pleased? Would he say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or would he say, man, that's not exactly what I wanted you to do with that. I feel like this master here, even though he is saying to this guy that he commended him, that he still knows he's got somebody sneaky handling his business. He still knows that he's got somebody that hadn't handled everything the way that it should have been handled. Would God look at us tonight and say, you know what? You put on a good show. When everybody looks at you from the outside, they think that you're trying your best to live your life in my will. But me and God know my heart, and you and God know your heart. What would God say? If God required tonight of us a financial report. Now look, I'm not talking about losing your salvation whatsoever, but look what he said right here. He said that thou mayest no longer be a steward. What if God said, you know what? If you're not going to handle what I've given you and you're not going to handle it in the fear of God and you're not going to handle it in trying to give me glory, then I'm going to take it all away from you. How much would you have left? I don't need to be preaching this tonight. Somebody else needs to preach this to me. If God said, everything that I've given you in your life that you're not using for my glory, everything that I've given in your life that you're taking for granted and you're not using it and you're not being a good steward of it, I'm going to take away from you. How much would you have left in the morning? Yeah, I'd probably be somewhere with my thumb stuck up. Spiritually. Tonight, I just want us to look at our own financial report. Because you know what? There will come a day. I know that we take a joy in knowing that because Jesus Christ lives in my heart, because he forgave me of my sins, because he washed me with his blood and I'm white as snow, we take a joy in knowing that when I stand before God, I'll not give an account for my sin. I'll not give an account that I am washed clean. I know that with all my heart, that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there's no doubt in my mind, when God looks at me, he sees the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, and he doesn't see my sin. But the Bible does teach me that one day I will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and I will give an account for the deeds that's been done in my body, whether they've been good or whether they've been bad. We may get by with not giving a financial report, of not standing here on this earth. We may get by with that for a little while here, but one day we will stand before a holy and a righteous God, and we'll give an account for what we've done with our bodies and what we've done with what God's given us and how God instructed us and whether we went that way or whether we didn't. And it won't be a question of whether you're going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. You know, and a lot of people, they talk about crowns, and the Bible talks about crowns and receiving crowns and all those kinds of things. And man, what it would be to earn crowns, that'd be awesome. Because I don't believe we'll do anything with those but cast them at Jesus' feet. I believe that's what we'll do with those. And I would love to have some to throw at his feet. But man, just not to have to give too much of an account for things that I didn't commit unto God. For things that I didn't say, here God, these are yours. They're yours anyway. Why am I hanging on to them like they're mine? Why am I treating them as I've got to protect them? Why am I treating them as it's something that I've got to have control of? I know this wasn't meant for this, but I was reading on Facebook sometime this afternoon, and there was a lady that had put on Facebook that her child got their license today, or maybe yesterday, I can't remember. And I know it wasn't meant like this at all, and when I just read it, sometimes how things jump out at you because very God-fearing lady. But they had put on there that yesterday my child was in my protection, today they got their license, and now I have to put them in God's hands. Well, you know what? You better go ahead and put them in God's hands today because there ain't nothing we can do about it. They're in God's hands. We need to feel like it's not in our hands. It's not our responsibility. It's little things that God has given us, and our only responsibility is to yield it all back unto God and say, God, this is yours. What do you want me to do with it? God, this is yours. How do you want me to use it? Verse number 10, I believe, is where we got to. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If you're going to be faithful unto God, if you're going to be faithful over the small things, over whatever it is that you would consider small in your life, if you're going to be faithful unto God unto that, then you'll be faithful unto much. But don't think that God, boy, if you gave me $1 million, I'd be faithful in that. But God, I can't be faithful in 100 because that's just not enough to even be faithful with. Be faithful unto God with it all. Be faithful and just say, God, it's all yours. I'm trusting you with it. I want to be a good steward. Let me figure out, God, what your will is for me to do with this. Verse number 11, if therefore you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit your trust to true riches? He said, if you can't be faithful in here, he is kind of incorporating over the finances and over the money. He said, if you're not going to be faithful in that, he said, how in the world can I trust you with true riches? Do you think that God has given you everything that he possibly can give you? Or is God having to hold back because we can't be faithful with what he has given us? So he can't just open the windows of heaven and pour out on us more than we can bear. Because we are not being faithful with what he has given us. If we're not careful, we'll actually bind the blessings of God in our life. It's very easy to get to think that I've done something. Oh, I have done this and I have done that. And it's how true the song is that I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Somebody come in work today and I was real busy and we was picking and playing back and forth. And he said, if anybody can do it, you can do it, Josh. You're the man. And I said, yeah, that's right. And he's a good church guy too. And he said, wrong answer. He said, you're supposed to say, I ain't the man, but I know the man. And I was like, okay, I hear you loud and clear. I said, that's exactly right. I said, you know what I meant? We were just talking. Yeah, but there I stood. It's real easy to all of a sudden go, yeah, I'm the man, you know, and be lifted up with pride. And of course, the Bible says, when you lift up with pride, take heed lest you fall. You know, we got to be real careful that we don't get to thinking that we've done something, that I have accumulated, that I have done something. The writer here in my Bible, and I'm talking about in the notes in the bottom of my Bible, had a quote here that I wrote down that I really liked. He said, if your finances are not at God's disposal, then your heart is probably not fully surrendered. Something as small as my finances, money, pieces of paper. Pennies don't even have enough copper in them now. They're not even worth their weight. So it's really not worth anything. It's just paper and it's just copper and silver. And it's really not worth anything. But boy, we sure do love it, don't we? Be careful. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. But if we're not careful, we love it. If we're not careful, oh, we want to hoard up all. Nothing wrong with trying to make everything that you can. I think it's amazing how that people of this world, the first thing they want to do. So like today when we was hearing about Billy Graham passing away, and one of the first things that happened, there's a guy that I try to witness to sometimes, and he's about as hateful as anybody I know. I love him to death, but he's just about as hateful as anybody I know, and he's always trying to pick Christianity apart, and then he wants to come and hear about it. You know, he wants to come and ask questions and hear about it. Just get a little taste. Man, I tell you what, if he'd ever get a real taste, he'd leave everything else alone, he'd follow Christ. But he wants to come and talk. And the first thing, you know, said this morning, well, do you know how much Billy Graham was worth? I said, no, I don't have a clue. I don't know whether he did or not, but he threw out some astronomical number. And I said, oh, really? And he said, yeah. Looked at me and said, no, you think that's right? Well, I don't know. Everything I seen, the old dude, he used everything he had to give God glory and to point others to Christ. And God just kept pouring it on him and kept pouring it on him. And don't think God can't do that for us. Don't think that God can't bless us if we say, okay, God, here it is. Here's my life. Let me read verse 12 and 13, and I'll be done. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Tonight, I know so many times we want to, or the world wants to look and say, well, if Christians have money, then that's just, there's nothing to that. You know what? There's nothing wrong with you having money. I hope you pile up all that you can stand in the bank, and I hope it gets to where it bothers you so bad that you give me some of it. I mean, that'll be just fine with me. But there is nothing wrong with you just having a ton of money as long as you're following God and God's first, and if God comes and says, okay, I want you to give it all away, that you have no problem saying, okay, God, I'll give it all away. You know, even with our church, and I'm thankful that our church is not like this. You know, we've been very blessed to be able to put some months of expenses in the bank. It's good to have that security, ain't it? It's good to have to know that if everybody quit giving tomorrow, that you've got a few months of expenses that you can take care of. That's good to know. But you know one thing that I'm thankful of at our church is that we're not just sitting and saying, let's see how much money we can pile up in the bank somewhere that we can be. But no, as these things come along, and yeah, we're starting to get our expenses paid for a few months in order. But if a need comes up in the church, there's no question. Go get it. Let's help. Go do this. Let's help. Let's take care of this. And as long as we do that, God's going to take care of our finances. As long as we follow God and God's command and His word and what we're supposed to do with our money, and we use our money to point others to the cross, and we use our money here at this church to give God glory, as long as we're good stewards, you don't have to worry about it. It's going to be there. Now, in our lives, and I'm not just talking about money, but I'm talking about in everything that God's given you, would you be afraid to give God a financial report? Would you have to say, here? Or would you have to say to yourself, what am I going to do? And start trying to find that cover story? Or would you say, here, God, if you find a mistake, it's an honest mistake. It's because I was trying my best, and I just messed up. That's all God wants from us. It's for us to give our best to be the steward that He wants us to be. Y'all pray for me that I will do it, because I'm going to tell you what, it's really easy to let the things in this world become too important to you. We forget that we're pilgrims and strangers. We forget that we're just traveling through. We forget that what we're really after is reaching our goal, just as Billy Graham did this morning. We forget sometimes that that is what we are trying to attain. We're not trying to attain a big name. We're not trying to attain great finances. What we're trying to attain is knowing that when we stand before God, that He does say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for all Your many blessings. God, I feel so guilty trying to stand and teach this lesson tonight. God, I know that sometimes in my life that I'm not a good steward of what You've given me. God, I know that things of this world sometimes become too important to me. God, I know that my mind and my eyes wander from where I'm supposed to be doing, and God, I pray that You'll help me in my life. God, I pray that You'll help me to follow Your instructions, and God, I pray that You'll help me to use everything that You've given me, my health, my strength, my time, whatever it is that You bless me with, God, I pray that You'll help me to use those things to give You glory and to point others to the cross. God, I do want to thank You for the way that You're moving in our church. God, I want to thank You for what You've done for Jason and his dad, God, and his family. God, I pray that You'll just continue to work, God. I know that You're going to get glory out of that situation. And God, we pray that You'll get glory in a way that everybody says, that's God. And God, we just want to thank You and praise You for loving us enough that You gave Your Son to die on a rugged cross for us. In Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.